morning. Good morning and welcome this second Sunday of Advent to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time with us, we are glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways that we are church together through the worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin is packed full of those announcements, and we have a few more this morning. A few that I have. First, Christmas preparations continue, and Carol Ann and I have a few items that we need done over the course of the next week or so, one of them being to hang some lights in the garland. If you're comfortable on a ladder, please let me know. And also, we need some Christmas costumes ironed and a few other odds and ends. If you'll talk with Carol Ann or I, if you've got a few moments to spare and some skills to give, we would be much appreciated. And a big thank you to all of those who gave of their time and their hospitality to host the Presbytery meeting of Genesee Valley this past Tuesday. It was a wonderful meeting, and it was great to see all the GPC folks helping direct folks and welcome them and serve meals. So again, thank you. And my last announcement for this morning. On Thursday, that would be this Thursday, December 8th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, we will be having a special service, a Blue Christmas service, a service of comfort and hope for anyone who is struggling this holiday season, whether you are facing health concerns, have lost someone you loved, have lost a job, or just for whatever reason can't find that Christmas joy. I need some space and some peace. Please come and be with us together this Thursday, December 8th. Few other announcements. Paula.
Good morning. The Deacon's Christmas card ministry continues. We still have bookmarks to hand out. We'll be handing them out as you leave the service today. Our goal is for every shut-in to get at least 10 cards from the church members. So feel free to take two or three bookmarks. Thanks.
Four times a year, we prepare a meal for St. Joseph's, and coming up in 2 weeks is our last time for this year. It's on Friday, December 16th. We'll be doing the food preparation, and we'll be serving the meal on the 17th. So there's a sign-up sheet, as usual, out on the kiosk. We need your food donations to make it happen, and then we need some people to come together and prepare the meal and serve it. So the sign-up sheet's there. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. Today would be the last day that I'll be selling tickets for the Women's Candlelight Dinner. It's going to be at Rick's Prime Rib on Tuesday, December 13th. However, the numbers are really low this year. We've only sold 50 tickets. At this time last year, we were at 123. So what I propose is if there's anyone here today that doesn't have the money today but can pay me next week, but at least can call me or let me know in the fellowship hall where I'll be selling tickets, I need to let Rick's know the final number by this coming Thursday, December 8th. So it's as everybody knows, it's gone before. It's been a wonderful evening. We usually bring things for the Alternative Battered Women's Shelter. And we've got a few things that we're going to do that evening. So hopefully those who have not bought their tickets can come this year and see me in the fellowship hall after church. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm here this morning to tell you how grateful that we are for your generosity in supporting the work of this congregation with your 2012, your next year's stewardship pledges. As of today, we have 153 pledges representing 85% of our proposed goal. That's amazing. But there are about 50 families that we haven't heard from yet, and we hope that we will hear from you today or sometime this week. If you've misplaced your pledge card or your time and talent card, they're still in the attendance registers. Please pull one out and prepare it today and put it in the collection plate, or you can leave them in the office. That would be fine, too. Okay, next week, December 11th, is the annual congregational meeting, and after the service, we will present our preliminary budget for 2012, and you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. At that meeting, you'll also hear the slate of new elders, deacons, and trustees for 2012. We hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Junior highs, we have a movie night tonight. So you got a flyer in the mail, but the time we've changed, the flyer said 4:15. I would like for you to be here at 4. So I hope all of you are planning to come. See you tonight.
And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God. Today we light the second candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of comfort, and I invite the Fields, Smith, and Adams family to come as our candle lighters. We wait. We long for the Messiah.
Thank you. Please stand if you're able for the call of worship. We are people longing for comfort. We don't know when or how. So we wait with the promise.
Let us come to God, confessing our sins, confident that God forgives us over and over again. Let us pray together. Comforter of the lost, you call out to us, but we are too busy right now to listen. We lose our way and fool ourselves into believing that many of our rough ways and crooked paths are justified. We tell ourselves that we don't have enough time to get everything done. We can't ever say no. We scoff at people who can't seem to control themselves, but indulge to fill the emptiness we feel. Lead us back to the level plains of your comfort that provides us space and time to change and be the people you call us to be. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says our God. In Jesus Christ, the good news of God's promises proclaim, here is your God. Our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. Today is the second Sunday of what?
Advent.
Very good. Of Advent. And during Advent, we spend time getting ready for baby Jesus. Last week, we were here last week. Some of you? Well, you can help me out then. How many of you were at the Advent Festival? Some more? I need all the help I can get here. We learned a poem, and we talked about Jesus coming to teach us how to be good people. Here, I'll say the poem first, and then we'll all say it together. And if you already know it, if you learned it at one of the other times, you can join with me. I'm having a complete mental block over the poem. Let me get my paper. Okay, you can see me better anyway. We are longing for baby Jesus to come into our world. We open our hearts to welcome baby Jesus. Oh, you did a much better job than I did at remembering. So let's try it again. Maybe I'll learn it. We are longing for baby Jesus to come into our world. We are opening our hearts to welcome baby Jesus. Good job. One of the, did you have a question? One of the reasons that God sent Jesus to our world was to teach us how to be good people. Jesus taught us to share, right. Yeah. Well, also Jesus, we talked last week about Jesus teaching us how to be reconcilers. Remember that big word, reconciliation? Jesus taught us ways to make peace when we're mad at people. Today we're going to talk about comforting, that Jesus came into our world to teach us to be comforters. So how do you think we can be comforters? Anybody got any ideas? What if you had a sick friend? What could you do to make that friend feel better? Help encourage the friend to go to the doctors? Yeah, perhaps maybe if you're in school, you could call your friend when you got home and tell your friend about what happened in school. Or maybe you could take that friend some homework or cookies, or mainly make that friend know that you're sad the friend wasn't in school with you today. You can all be comforters. You were sick, weren't you? Yeah, I'm glad to see you here. I'm glad you're feeling better. So we're making this very long Advent connection chain, and we're learning ways in which we can connect. We've already learned that we can connect through reconciliation, and now we can connect. We're learning we can connect by comforting. So I'm going to give you part of the chain, and then Melissa and Samantha are going to staple it for you. It's getting long, don't you think? So once you get your strip of paper, you can go connect it to the chain.
Okay.
Very welcome. Everybody got an English trip? Everybody, did you get one? So if you've got your chain, your link on the chain, you can come back over here. How long it is.
I don't know. How many times do you think we're going to go to wrap this around the church?
You're five? That's great.
Okay. Two, you think? I don't want to go over there.
Okay. Let's have a prayer while they're finishing up. Thank you, God, for coming into our world. We want to be comforters. Help us. Amen.
Amen.
You may go to your classes.
First reading of the word is from 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15a. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of person ought you to be, leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening, the coming of the day of God? Because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance with this promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where the righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of the Lord as salvation.
Hear the world's being and to me.
Amen. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear, says the cities of Judah. Here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." Over the years as a preacher, I have been the recipient of words of wisdom from many homiletic professionals. The advice and teachings include: know where and to whom you are speaking. Gates Presbyterian Church. You all. Don't spend your whole sermon rehashing the text verse by verse without some kind of direction. Well, that would probably get pretty boring, so don't worry. Don't get lazy with your theology. Even the best preachers find that they have about 5 things to say and 25 different ways to say it. I'm pretty safe. I've only preached about 50 sermons or so with you all, so we'll let time be the judge of that. The most practical and transforming piece of advice I have taken on and practice every week, which, by the way, you don't have to be a preacher to do, is take the text with you. Literally. Every Sunday afternoon or Monday morning, I take the scripture passage that I am preaching for the following Sunday, I print it off or I write it down and I stick it in my purse. Or I download it onto my iPad so that it comes up every time I turn it on. Becoming familiar with the biblical text is about more than just understanding it in its historical, literary, and exegetical context. When we invite these ancient words to reside in our hearts and our lives by reading them over and over and over again, they come alive in our everyday. I'm often surprised by the situations that I'll pay extra attention to, or even see in a whole new way because of the snippets that I have put in my pocket. And this week was no exception. They sang clear, just as the tenor's voice from Handel's Messiah. As I spent time at Strong Hospital this week with our youngest. You could see she's doing better now with lots of fluids and monitoring. But of course, any time that a parent has to spend in a hospital is too much. When I would take those breaks from sitting in her room and venture out into the rest of the hospital to stretch my legs or find a bite to eat, God's words were with me. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people. Riding in a cramped elevator that smelled of yesterday's cafeteria French fries and body odor, a man talks into his cell phone as if he is the only person standing in the elevator. The doctors still don't know anything. They've ran so many tests, taken so much blood. Why can't they just tell me something? Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. In the emergency department, the receptionist takes the name and symptoms of a child and directs the frantic parents to have a seat in the waiting area. Waiting area, the mother cries out. Can't you see that my child is sick? Patiently, the receptionist replies, ma'am, all these kids are sick. A triage nurse will be with you shortly. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. After a long wait in the pharmacy, an older couple reaches the counter, and the pharmacist apologizes that the discharge medication isn't covered by insurance. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. A young woman thrashes around on the gurney, pulling at the soft restraints that keep her from harming herself or anyone around her. Her screams echo through the hallway as the police officer stands outside her room with his arms crossed, explaining to the social worker about the punches she threw at school. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. The complexity of human pain and suffering is often outside of our understanding. There are systems of injustice that take advantage of those who are vulnerable, and sometimes we can't ignore that we make life choices where the consequences of our actions sink us deeper and deeper into our own affliction. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. This poignant statement not only names a deep human longing we have as creation in need of comfort, but also our longing to respond as bearers of divine comfort, as God commands. This is a longing that has been expressed over and over again in the story of God's people. Through the words of the prophet Isaiah, the Israelite people tell their story of exile over the course of several hundred years. The book has at least three authors and describes the ways that the people lived amidst the despair and devastation of hopelessness and destruction. And to be honest, up until chapter 40, Jerusalem has been described as a character hardly worth anyone's sympathy. Chapter after chapter describes how the people of Jerusalem prospered through wickedness, oppression, lies, and injustice, refusing to heed the prophet's call to repent, reform, be reconciled to God. And in 587 BCE, when Jerusalem was conquered and destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, the leaders and a significant part of the population were marched off to Babylon. The Jerusalem prophets made it unmistakably clear that the destruction of the city and the exile to Babylon were not due to Babylon's strength. They were the consequences of the people over and over again trading God's covenant in for human suffering caused by unjust social systems. As we take a deep breath and realize the tailspin into the theological complexities of how and why God's people long for comfort in the midst of their complicated situations, chapter 40, verse 1, speaks the word of comfort that transforms the eyes and ears and hearts of the people who lived conflicted with trying to just find that one simple answer to their suffering. Their suffering is not the result of God doling out punishment or inflicting pain, disease, or disaster. But the words of the prophet do not deny that the suffering exists. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. The words affirm that God is here. It is God's promises that remain. God lives through the bleakness with us, holding us in God's embrace and love. God calls each of us to be present to the suffering of others, to show compassion and love. God calls us to be divine bearers of comfort to one another, reminding others that sometimes all one can do is take that next breath, walk that next step. That is enough. Each moment in time takes whatever it takes to live through a breath, a step, a hand to hold, the quiet presence of another just being there. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Today's reading from Isaiah reminds us that God commands us to be present with others, to be bearers of divine compassion, kindness, and love and support to those who are longing for comfort. And the text gives us the clues how to do that. Because God is present and doing these very acts within human life and suffering, what God is doing and what we are called to do is to be present with others in their suffering. We're not called to solve the problems of others as much as we are called to listen. Be present. God's call to compassion invites us to sit with others, hold their hand, be present without judgment. We too are to speak tenderly, without condemnation or placing any kind of value statement on the condition of the person's life or pretending we know why or how they got there. Sometimes the conditions of our lives and the source of our suffering is the direct result of our own actions. And at other times, it is the result of the actions of others. And so we are also called to examine our own lives, to consider how our actions might be contributing to the suffering of others. We are called to consider how we are acting in ways that serve the well-being of all humanity as an act of participating in God's justice. We are to remind others and ourselves that God is present. God is faithful. And even when all signs are to the contrary, God is with us. We are to remember that God is actively working to transform the suffering and tragedy of our individual and communal lives into new life, new hope, through God's mercy and grace. Comfort, O comfort my people. Let us go and do likewise. the table of bread and wine is now made ready. It is the table of the divine comfort bearers with Jesus and all who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with all the earth in which Christ became incarnate. God with us, Emmanuel. So come to this table, you who have much faith, you who would like to have more, you who have been here often, and you who have not been here in a long time, you who have followed Jesus, and you who have failed. Come, it is our risen Lord who invites us to meet him here. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at the table of the kingdom of God.
This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Give thanks to God, for God is good.
His love is everlasting.
Holy Lord, everlasting God.
You are the God of wonder and movement. Your spirit did not rest, but transformed chaos into creation. You lifted the valleys and made low the mountains. But we ran down our own crooked paths of sin. The prophets were sent to help us understand our brokenness, but we fled into the dark wilderness. And so you prepared Jesus to come to us, so we might know the very nearness of your comfort. Come to us in these moments, God of Advent, pouring your spirit upon the bread and cup, that we might be drenched by your grace and peace. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true. With people of faith from all times and places, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, for you alone are holy.
Holy God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who lived with us, sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was friends with sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and was murdered by the people he loved. We praise you that he is not dead, but is risen to rule the world, and that he is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power to hurt or divide us, so that when you bring your promised kingdom, we will celebrate victory with him.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world, and telling his resurrection to all people and nations.
Great God, give your Holy Spirit in the breaking of bread, so that we may be drawn together and joined to Christ the Lord, receive new life, and remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory.
O God, call us from death to life. We give ourselves to you, and with the church for all ages, we thank you for your saving love.
Jesus made his extravagant love visible in all that he said and all that he did, especially on that night that he gathered with his disciples, washed their feet, sat down at table with them. And on that night, he took bread and he gave thanks for it. And he broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and poured the wine in it. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. The table has been made ready. Let us celebrate.
is the bread of heaven, and we celebrate the grace and mercy we receive. Amen.
And Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for satisfying our hungry hearts with this holy meal, shared in the Spirit with Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Strengthen and refresh us as we go from here, prepared to live, revealing your image in the world so that love and faithfulness meet together. Through this we pray, through Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concern.
Dorothy Munt, is it on? I'd just like to ask prayers for my granddaughter, Kim, who will be going into Strong on Tuesday for heart surgery.
Hi, Cherie Barrett. I'd like prayers for a coworker, Kate Gramlich, whose daughter is battling leukemia, and they're having a hard time there in the hospital for an intensification phase. It was supposed to last 4 days. It's lasted 7. So please pray for little Avery.
Gretchen Green, prayers please for a close family friend who has diagnosed just before Thanksgiving with stage 4 melanoma. He's only 52, and also prayers for my son-in-law and daughter who are taking turns driving to Rhode Island to be with him. Thank you.
Norma Polizzi, I have a special prayer today. I have to have surgery on Tuesday, so I would like whatever prayers you can send my way. Thanks.
Sue Mancini. Al Waugh got up this morning and was talking about the St. Joseph House of Hospitality. Any of you who get the newspaper, there is a wonderful article in there this morning about what they do, and that we are not mentioned in there, but we, for over 30 years, have supported this mission, and I hope all of you sitting here today get out there and sign up to bring something or work. It's one of the best missions that we support. Thank you.
Roy Smith, Julie and James and I all thank you for the outpouring of gifts and cards and support that we've received. We're very touched by how this church has embraced us and just couldn't be more thankful. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's doing well.
Congratulations.
Jenna Hasnop, a prayer of joy for my new cousin that was born December 1st at 11:30 at night, Leah Grace Hasenlop.
Alex Thornton, prayers for the Spenceport community as two school members that I'm friends with passed away this week. So prayers for our community.
Amy America, prayers for my father. He fell and broke both of his arms, so prayers for a speedy delivery or recovery.
We also want to remember in our prayers Randall Shea, whose father died this week, and Hannah Walker, whose sister died, and Brian Weber, who's gone back to is back in Strong in the hospital. And the Wallens family asked for prayers as they wait for test results for Bill.
We also have prayers from our children this morning from the sixth grader. Mikey asked for prayers for his new baby cousin. From the third and fourth graders, a joy that a friend is feeling better after being sick and a mom and brother return safe after a trip out of town. The fifth graders pray for grandparents as they travel to Tennessee. And Abby and Lauren are excited for their birthdays this week. From the preschool, friends are thankful that Nora is feeling better. Harmony asks for prayers for her mom who has been sick and prayers of thanksgiving for our friends.
Let us pray. Comforting God, we give you thanks that when we come to you from the broken places in our lives, you reach your hand out to us, you welcome us, and hold us in your comforting arms. We long for a world that is easier and gentler. You hear our longings, and you comfort us. You remind us of the renewal of the waters of our baptisms. You welcome us to your table of restoration. And once again, your love empowers us. Parent God, we give you thanks for the everlasting comfort, reassurance, and empowerment that you give to us, your children. This morning, we pray for the Spenceport High School community and for the family of Cameron DeVeronica. Be with both in their grief. Assure them that Cameron is in your safe keeping. Help each of us to be vehicles of kindness. Give us the courage to speak out against cruelty. And be with our own young people in this congregation as they struggle with the loss of their classmate. And we pray for all others that are going through difficult times, for those waiting on medical tests, and for those who are ill, and for those who have lost loved ones, and all others whose personal pain is magnified by the cultural merriment of this time of year. Help us to wade through dancing reindeers and blow up snowmen to touch the Christ child and receive the comfort given to us through the birth, death, and resurrection of this small child born in a manger. O God, hear us now as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Let's bring our gifts forward.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, please receive these gifts of our tithes and offerings, a small token returned back from the bounty that you give to us. May they be used in your service to bring glory to your name, as we pray in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Getting longer. Indeed, O God, we long for restoration, we long for comfort, and as we go from this place, we open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to the cries for comfort in this world. It is with God's divine comfort, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace from the Holy Spirit that we go. Amen.